This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. I can be reached at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Los Angeles Rams. Look, that was a very impressive win. I've kind of focused on the Bears and what they're not with that O-line. But the Rams got the best punter I've ever seen. That was really the difference in the game. Well, look, the Rams are going to win that game anyway. But when the Bears were starting at their own five, within their own five constantly, right? There was a fighter named Antonio Margarito years ago, not even that many years ago, and he was an animal at welterweight. And it was found later that he had loaded gloves. They had some kind of plaster-like substance that would harden on his hand wraps as the fight went along. And that is a weapon for sure. And he got in big trouble for it, as he deserved to get in trouble for it. But that weapon was more useful to Margarito than to another fighter. Because what did Margarito have? He had a granite for a chin. You couldn't hurt him, right? And he had incredible stamina. And he applied a lot of pressure and threw a lot of punches. So since he had granite for a chin, you weren't going to knock him out early. And since he was in great shape, he could keep going. And he could maintain a high work rate. So if you have wraps that dry as the fight goes on, then by the sixth, seventh round, when they're hard at that point, you're swinging with bricks, basically. But it suits your style. You're going to grind it out anyway. And now it's impossible. You're in great shape. It's impossible. You got bricks for fists, and you can take a punch. Ooh, that's the wrong dude to give those literal weapons, right? Well, when you think about a defensive line with Aaron Donald on it, ain't going to be much of a pocket. Usually, right? So what does that mean? Well, if you're playing a quarterback like Nick Foles, if you're playing Aaron Rodgers or Mahomes or Lamar Jackson, they may be able to make something of that one way or another, right? But when you're playing a lot of quarterbacks and you're Aaron Donald and you otherwise can get pressure on the quarterback, there's not a pocket to step into. You know, you're going to wind up punting the ball. It becomes like the game can become about field position. And you combine that with a punter who can pin the other team back on their own, like, five, and now you're going to send Aaron Donald on him, Adam? It's a good combination, man. Punter plus interior defensive lineman who can do everything, go get the quarterback, stop the run. Oh, yeah, and you got to put two guys on him. That's what happened last night. What a special teams performance. Let alone, by the way, and they brought it up on the broadcast, Andrew Whitworth, really good left tackle. Been playing for years. When the Rams signed him, the Giants looked at him and said, he's too old to guarantee big money to. Let's give that money to Nate Solder eventually. How'd that work out? Whitworth, when he's been on the field, has been great. Oh, they have an O-line, they got a D-line, they have a quarterback who's not independently great no matter what's around him, but he can get the job done. Got a great young coach, he's still so young, McVay, and already not only is he innovated, but he's adjusted and come right back. He did something, the league adjusted to him, then he came right back and made another adjustment. Now look at him. Very imaginative play caller. You got receivers everywhere you look who can not only catch, but do something with the ball. You got very competent running backs. Rams got a lot. And look, they don't have a lot of great wins so far. And they got a couple of losses. But the NFL, more than any other sport, it's not how you start out, it's how you finish. Because fundamentally, because of the physical nature of the sport, and the amount of chemistry it takes on an NFL team. Teams change over time. The team you start the year with is not the same team. Like, literally, the personnel, a lot of it, is not the same. But also the way they're playing and operating together has changed. And what you want to see from your football team, more than anything, is the arrow pointing in the right direction. It certainly looks that way for the Rams. Not for the Bears. I wouldn't, like, I know Nick Foles is coming under fire. Nagy was terrible last night, and the offensive line was non-existent. And they were facing Aaron Donald, so right away you start with a holding call, right? And when it's not a holding call, it's a sack. And when it's not a, when it's neither one of those, you don't really, you only have one really good receiver. And you don't have great running backs, and they're not run blocking on the line anyway. And Foles doesn't have a pocket to step into, and he's throwing these 50-50 balls off his back foot, so they're really more like 30-70 balls. And the punter on the other team is pinning you back constantly. Defense, like, and by the way, the Bears' defense has been really good this year. I still think they can be better. I think they have a lot of talent on that defense. But until they fix the offensive line, I wouldn't blame Foles. I think he's better than Trubisky, and I think Foles in the right situation can be quite good. I saw him win the Super Bowl MVP, and then he followed that up by you know, helping a team catch fire that was dead in the water. Don't forget, after the Super Bowl MVP, the Eagles were kind of dead in the water, a 500 team, no life. Nick Foles takes over for Wentz again the next year after the Super Bowl MVP. They catch fire, make the playoffs, go to Soldier Field, beat Trubisky and the Bears at Soldier Field. A lot of people liked the Bears to get out of the NFC that year, and then went to New Orleans, very nearly beat Drew Brees and the Saints at New Orleans. I've seen Nick Foles do it. I saw Nick Foles do it with Chip Kelly. 27 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He was excellent. Saw him do it at Arizona. Everyone was talking about Matt Barkley and Brock Osweiler. Nick Foles is easily better than both of them. Andrew Luck was better than Nick Foles, but okay, it was Andrew Luck. He was the second-best quarterback in the Pac-12 back then. No, Foles got talent. Foles can play. He has very little to work with. No O-line, no dynamism in the offense, bad play calling. He's not going to be better than all of that. He's a guy where if you have a running game and you have an offensive line and you have some receivers and a defense, he's not only going to not prevent you from winning, he'll help you win. But if you take those things away, he's not the type that's going to overcome that. Charles in Chicago, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yeah, I'm calling. Hey, Max, how you doing? I'm calling in regards to the hit on Andy Dalton.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, that hit, this is football. And when you're sliding, and the most of the time it'd be helmet-to-helmet contact. If a player just doesn't get injured, it wasn't be such a much of an impact that he actually.
Yeah, but you know what? I hear what you're saying, and once upon a time, I get it. But players are acclimated to it now. They've had years with this already, and that looked intentional to me. Sometimes I know what you mean. It's like, well, what do you really want him to do? That looked like, come on, man. You know what's going to happen when you go at him like that. But tellingly, and everyone's mentioned this. That's why I didn't get into it because I agree. The team didn't do anything. Team didn't do anything. I remember the 98 Yankees, and this is baseball. Graham Loy, the left-handed relief pitcher from Australia, comes running out of the bullpen. Remember Darryl Strawberry? Everyone was getting into it. That team was like, uh-uh. We deal with one of us, you deal with all of us. That was a baseball team. This Cowboys team, nah. They ain't sticking together. They ain't sticking up for each other. They're not talented enough. They're not coached well enough. They don't have their quarterback. And I think that was actually of course it was a tipping point when Dak couldn't go, right? But in terms of like not quitting on the season, when the team was like, oh, you knocked out our quarterback? Yeah, whatever. Didn't do anything. That was it.
But Max, you hear what I was saying earlier? What do you think about what I was saying? Blow everything up. Whoever's on their second contract, gone. That means Zeke, you gone. Jalen Smith, you gone. Cooper should have never given up all the picks. You gone. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I agree. Ezekiel Elliott got paid. You know, the Cowboys invested a lot in their offense, in draft picks and in treasure, and not so much in the defense. You know, so they have a you know, they've lost a cornerback, they've lost defensive end. They paid their running back. They drafted CeeDee Lamb, who was the best player on the board, I guess, at that time. But you know, really, they needed defensive help. And now they gave Ezekiel Elliott the big drafted him fourth and then paid him. And what's he done? Just like I get on Carson Wentz. You're paid like a top five quarterback. You're playing like a middle of the pack quarterback. Ezekiel Elliott's paid like a franchise kind of running back, and they need him now more than ever, and he's not good. He's fumbled more and, you know, like blocked less, and, you know, he's just not good. He needs to be great right now, and he's not living up to the contract. Raj, I totally agree. As we frequently do, we overestimated the talent on the team because they're publicized more than other teams. And the Joneses thought they were much closer than they were. And now without Dak, they're totally lost. I agree. You could blow this whole thing up. Chinee, are you on the line right now?
What's goody?
Hey, what's going on? How you like working with Golic Jr. so far?
It's all right. You know, my appetite goes up just because we're always talking about food. But it's been fun. And it's been fun, you know, supporting things after you're done.
Wait, supporting things after you're done? What does that mean?
Meaning carrying things over. We're right after you.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes.
You get it.
By the way, this works this way in radio, Chinee. It's very important for you to be awesome. And I'll tell you why. In TV, it's your lead-in, right? Like, if this was TV, it would just be about whatever rating I'm handing you. You guys, really, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in radio, it doesn't work that way. In radio, if someone makes you guys a P1, that means when they turn on the car, there's the Max Kellerman Show. You actually benefit also from the show that you're leading into.
Absolutely.
Do you see the pressure on you?
Oh, I didn't know. I feel like you have to really close things strong for us. Like, come on, because we always bring the energy here.
That goes without saying, but you're a radio neophyte. What do you think you get to be as good as me just rolling out of bed one day?
You're right. I am probably 28. I'm probably 28.
Hey, Sinead joins us on the Shell Pennzoil performance line, of course. So listen, I wanted to have you on. And by the way, you tell me if this is the case, right? Like, because you're a player and you're female and this involves women's basketball, I automatically go to you. Now, is that a bad thing or is that a good thing? You know what I mean?
You know what?
Tell me about it.
Knowing you and knowing how you have really helped me a lot, you see me as a specialist. So I appreciate that.
I see you as a generalist, both. But yes, certainly in this case, a specialist. And let me tell you what I want to talk to you about, okay? I go, my daughter Esther plays at Steady Buckets, which is a skills development program. Shout out Coach Mackey and Coach Lefty here in New York City. And she has outgrown her basketball sneakers, right? She had this fresh pair of Jordans, like with the newspaper clippings on it, right? Like the red and black ones. Oh, my God, it was so fresh. But she's outgrown them. Her favorite kicks, outgrown, needs new basketball sneakers. She's growing fast. And we go online to look, and I'm thinking, I want to get her a WNBA sneaker. Why not? Like the Storm had a great year. They got a ton of great players. Let me look. Got any Sue Birds? Got any Breonna Stewarts? No. They got Super has one collab with Kyrie Irving, I think. But like, no, these WNBA players don't have their own sneakers out. And I'm thinking, like, selfishly, because my daughter plays and I'd like to her to have fresh pair of kicks. And why not WNBA? Right? Why does it have to be NBA? But also, it's like they're missing an opportunity. There's money to be made. What are the sneaker companies doing? So I wanted to have you on to talk about it and to think what we could do about it.
Okay. All right, here's my answer. First of all, your daughter is super dope, super cool. One, playing hoops, and I'm going to give her something special after we finish up here. I'll talk to you about that. But you're right. You know, being a professional women's basketball player, we are constantly compared to the men, and part of that comparison spills over to the brand, right? And, you know, I'm proudly Team Adidas. I was formerly Nike, then crossover to Three Stripe Life. And we see a lot of the guys, whether it is my guy Damian Lillard or Donovan Mitchell, that have their own shoes, which are super cool. And they do a great job of incorporating us, you know, as, you know, peers in the game. Hey, like, I'm making sure I'll amplify you wearing my shoe. LeBron always reposts when Sue was wearing his, or Breonna Stewart, which, by the way, I really appreciate you going back and acknowledging Breonna Stewart. considering she was finals MVP. And I know you talk about injuries and athletes coming back because your girl came back from Achilles too.
Oh, yeah. What I said, just to let everyone know, because I mentioned this on the radio show, this was a couple weeks ago. I said, you know, KD does not have great odds coming back. Look, Tom Brady defied my Cliff prediction, but he's the first one to play at this age, at this level. And I said, athletes, I was being hyperbolic. I did say at one point, like, it's rare. But I also said that they basically don't come back from an Achilles as the same player. And then some members of the Seattle Storm, who, by the way, are loaded with all-stars, tweeted at me, hey, that's not true. What about Breonna Stewart? So I was like, oh, yeah, sorry, right. That actually she did, and she just won finals MVP, and she hasn't missed a beat, and she's averaging like 26 points a game or whatever it is. So, yeah, I corrected myself. But, you know.
Max, I appreciate you for, you know, standing in the line of fire and taking it and understanding it and moving the conversation forward, which is why we are here today and talking about your daughter. But you're absolutely correct. Women's basketball players do have an opportunity, hopefully when they partner with sneaker brands, to really, you know, have a shoe. It just is, why haven't we had one? We talked about Cheryl Swoops and how big that was for the culture, but that was off of the heels of the start, the inauguration of the WNBA season, right? Coming off of that huge 96 Olympics where there was momentum for this new league and there was support and there was investment. And then because we're about to turn 25, the WNBA years pass, and we've been on autopilot for a very long time. And I would even, you know, dare to say up until this January 2020, where we finally ratified a new collective bargaining agreement, the CBA, that forced our partners to bet on women. And that was a motto, to invest in women. And a lot of people say, oh, why? Like, well, you guys all want LeBron James money. I'm like, no. Y'all are here in all the wrong parts. We understand the economic realities of our league. We just want you to understand that our perspective is needed now more than ever. And it actually can be by opening, you know, your perspective business-wise to us, amplifying us. You're opening yourself to a perspective that has been neglected and can be profitable.
That's
and
half I'll run the population. Why would you want to shut off half the population?
And by the way, that half of the population, which I'm glad you are helping, you know, out in your household, but like, moms buy shoes. So when you show women that are strong and
who is controlling the discretionary income, the budget of the house. Yeah, right.
Exactly. So it's like, this can only be a home run. And that's why we're constantly in this conversation. I think what people fail to understand, though, is that the business of a basketball shoe is taking a hit. It's harder to sell those these days than it was before, unless you're like an icon, whether you're LeBron James or Michael Jordan. Those shoes are good. Those shoes are in the vaults. All these other exploratory shoes with different players and all that type of stuff, it's harder to sell that now.
You know why?
Because
there too many of them are ugly. They're see, this is my whole thing about, and I listen, I know the Sparks sent my daughter some gear, but so let me just put that aside for a second.
Mm-hmm.
People will buy the gear if it's fresh. You got to make it fresh. And that means you got to spend money on bringing people in to design it. Not just the player going, yo, you know what would be dope? Let me put this over here. No, you're not a designer. It looks
100%.
It's whack. Right? Like, make it fresh. And by the way, if you make it fresh and you have some Breonna Stewart, like, Jewel Lloyd and Alicia Clark were the ones who brought this to my attention.
I know
but
they
And by the way, they're ballers. They're ballers.
Yes.
But then you have another level. Like, Sue Bird is an all-time great. And Breonna Stewart is on another level right now.
Yep.
If you had Breonna Stewart's and they were fresh, like,
people would buy them.
Boys and girls would buy them if they're fresh.
And nowadays in the culture, as young boys or men are, they want to stunt with something different. And having like a pair of women's shoes that they're rocking, that's where our culture is moving. Right. And a lot of people sort of hear WNBA or hear women's sports and sort of cringe, unfortunately, even though the numbers are moving in a different way. We have a lot of people that are advocating for us, but hey, men lie, women lie. Well, guess what? Numbers don't. The 2020 WNBA finals up 15% in a year like no other, right? You look at the highest paid female athlete, it's Naomi Osaka, someone that, you know, is biracial and has really taken the sports world by storm. There are moments for young athletes. And, you know, our commissioner in the WNBA is a woman by the name of Kathy Engelbert. Dope. She ran Deloitte for a while. And speaking of Deloitte, I always bring this up because they run the numbers on, you know, consulting and marketing and all that type of stuff. And they came like in the industry of sports or, you know, the business of sports, all those things that are tangential. They predicted that the rise of women's sports was number one most profitable thing. Over esports, over sports betting.
Yeah, because starting basically from nothing, and you have an enormous market. Shanae Agumike, before I let you go,
yes,
here
sir.
on the what hotline am I talking on, guys?
Shell Pennzoil, Performance
Hotline.
You.
There you go, Shanae got me. this is what I want to start doing. We'll have you back on the show to talk about this. which WNBA star should we start lobbying the sneaker makers to have her own kicks, right? And then who should design it and all that stuff. I want my daughters to be able to play some ball in some WNBA kicks, you know? Like, who should that be, Shanae?
Easy. Shanae Ogovic. No, I'm just kidding.
I knew you were going to say that.
No. I think right now there's a real moment for Sue Bird because she comes up in the greatest of all time. And there's a whole movement out there about keep Sue fresh. She's dope. She's got, the culture both ways. By the way, if we're going to talk about
she's
Candace
an ultimate
Parker,
winner. She's like the ultimate winner. Wherever she goes, she wins. Everywhere.
But we've seen this possible, like this success be possible. Candace Parker had a PE drop these last few years. Yeah. WNBA hoodie sold out. Diana Taurasi goat shirt sold out. So there are things moving in the positive direction. Maya Moore a couple years ago, her shoe showed out.
Kicks,
sold out in
kicks,
minutes.
Kicks. Who got the kicks? Who do we get?
Sue
Who
Bird.
Do we start pumping up for the
kicks?
Sue Bird. Fine. Sue Bird. Let's get Sue Bird on the show and talk about it. Shanae, I look forward to you and Mike Golic Jr. Thank you for coming on, and we'll have you back on because maybe you bring Sue Bird back on the show. We'll all chop it up. There it is. Shanae Ogumike. Cam says he's embarrassed by his play. Should he be benched? Look, we all drop our phones. It happens. You fumble it, crack it, splash it. Well, Straight Talk Wireless now offers this new Platinum Unlimited plan that includes phone protection, just $65 a month. For unlimited talk, text, and data, plus 20 gigs of hotspot and 100 gigs of cloud storage and more, all on the best networks. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. See mobile protect terms and conditions at Asurion.com/straighttalk. Limitations and exclusions apply. Bench Cam, Max Kellerman Show. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. You hear that Jerry Jones sound? He got a little snippy with that reporter, right? Well, shut up and let me talk. You know why? Because what we're really getting at, when Jerry Jones says, where are we deficient in leadership? Is it in the talent? Is it in the... Jerry's the GM. Jerry and Stephen Jones, who've averaged about 8.5 wins a year for the last 10 years, are a tick above average at GMing football. But if you call yourself America's team and you're supposed to be one of the great franchises, that's not good enough. And he doesn't like when you get close to that point. Yeah, Jerry, the talent's not good enough because the GM isn't good enough. He's all right. You guys are pretty good. Good, but not if you want to be great. That's why Jerry's like that. By the way, you want to hear something that really annoyed me today, Raj?
What's that?
The ESPN Twitter account said Max Kellerman is making the apology to Tom Brady official. I never apologized to Tom Brady. I don't owe him an apology. Well, that's not true. When I originally made the Cliff prediction, I said he's going to be a bum in short order. The next day I came out and said, I don't want a name call. I don't mean bum. I mean a jag, just the guy. So, but since then, I haven't said anything for which I owe Tom Brady an apology. I was wrong about the Cliff because he defied the prediction. For what do I need to apologize for? Would you need to, if you picked George Foreman to knock out Muhammad Ali, would you need to apologize to Ali afterwards? It's ridiculous. Who wrote this that I apologize? It made no such thing.
No, you just said, hey, you may have been wrong about the Cliff, but you didn't
That's
say
right.
sorry. Why would you
apology.
Say sorry for having an opinion?
Yeah. People have exercise some editorial discretion here. Cam Newton, embarrassed. It said his starting job might be in jeopardy. Look, Cam Newton, first couple weeks of the season, looked great to me. Beat the Dolphins by 2 scores. Dolphins turned out to be pretty good. They're 500 so far. Almost beat the Seahawks. I mean, Seattle had to make, Bobby Wagner had to make a great play, and Seattle had to make a goal line stand against Cam Newton in order to win that game. And I thought Cam was razor sharp that game. I love that game. It's the best game I've seen in a long time. Like the execution, the talent. And then Cam won a game against the Raiders where he wasn't that sharp. And I thought, well, it's still great that you can beat a team. Also, it turns out to be a pretty good quality win against the Raiders. It's great that you can win that game when you're not at your best. And then Cam missed the game because he was tested positive for COVID. He contracted a deadly disease. I mean, it's not, you know, you are very likely not to die from it if you get it, but you might. There's no vaccination. And almost 250,000 Americans have died from COVID so far. And many who didn't, but who had COVID, are suffering ongoing effects that they can't really figure out, like, what to do about it. Glaucoma, pain in different parts of their body. We don't know what the lingering effects might be. And apparently, different people react differently to it. But I know this. Cam, right before he was the game before he was diagnosed with COVID, wasn't that sharp. And then he missed the game. And then the Patriots couldn't practice for a couple of weeks, basically, right? And meantime, this whole time, Cam is learning a new offensive system, the whole thing. And then since he's come back, he hasn't looked himself. It is reasonable to ask, is he suffering lingering effects from COVID-19, which he had not long ago? On the one hand, it says a bad thing, and like, Cam has played so poorly that I'm asking, you know, the only thing that may explain it is he had a bad illness and maybe he's still feeling it. On the other hand, maybe he is. He threw the ball 15 times in a loss, and 3 of the times he threw it were interceptions. 1 out of every 5 throws an interception. 20% of his throws, interceptions. For a team without dynamic receivers, without a lot of their defense, can't do it. By the way, he lost to a quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo who had to get yanked from his last game against the Dolphins, right? Got whooped. And watching that game, is like, there's something, you know, you heard about the ankle and everything. It's like, there's something wrong. And now they're talking about benching him going forward. Something got to be wrong with Garoppolo physically. Whatever you want to say about him, he's too good a player to be like, yeah, let's bench him. And it turns out, in fact, that was the case. Then he got healthy and just smoked the Patriots. So, you know, it may be the case that Cam's not right yet. We just saw it with Garoppolo. So in this case, it's an ankle. In the next case, it's COVID. But I think it's reasonable to watch Cam early in the season, watch him now and say, something's wrong. Doesn't seem to be from a lack of effort or a lack of buy-in on Cam's part. He just physically doesn't seem right to me. Missing guys every way you can miss guys, although Brady was missing guys last year too, but not like this. This isn't just not being on the same page with your receivers. This is not physically being right. And then he says he's embarrassed. His job could be in jeopardy. He realizes it. First thing I said to myself, coming home, said Cam Newton. He told Boston Sports Radio WEEI, you keep playing games like that, bro, and it's going to be a permanent change. Referring to the Patriots' decision to replace him with Jarrett Stidham in the fourth quarter Sunday. I still say when Cam is right, look, he had Norv Turner and put up the best passing season he was ever putting up and leading his team to dominance in that year, that season. And then he hurt his shoulder. And he won the same after that. But if his shoulder's okay, and now Belichick and McDaniels has him, why wouldn't he be good? As he was earlier in this year, even if he's inconsistent, he's not like that. I think something's wrong. Physically. What was the best signing? Last take coming up. By the way, 888. Say ESPN. I'm gonna get to your calls whether Raj wants me to or not. While you can't believe everything on social media these days, you can believe it's possible to start a new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months from the comfort of your own home, even if you have zero computer experience. Instead of waiting to see what happens when life gets back to normal, take control of your future now. Go to mycomputercareer.edu, mycomputercareer.edu, and take the free career evaluation today. Live online classes meet just twice a week. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio. Oh, this song is such a classic. ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Turn that up. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting, home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because yeah. I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's last take.
Here's my last take. Hear that Warren G song, Regulate? Raj, Brian Kenny, yeah. who's a straight-laced, great TV host, right? Does baseball now on MLB Network and does boxing and did SportsCenter for years and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, I got him into some hip-hop with Warren G and Ludacris. Those were his two favorites. But that song was used to get burned in the car when we had to go do events and stuff. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm nice. East Coast. I got East Coast ears, you know, but sometimes the West Coast song would drop. Undeniable.
The G-Funk.
Yeah. All right. The Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Dominic in New York, you're on the Max Kellerman Show. What's your last take?
Hey, Max, big fan. Spoke to you yesterday. I love your highbrow, your controversial,
That's right.
dissident kind of take on things. I am a preference one listener. I did want to ask something. I know Seattle's been a topic that we've talked about for some time. Big fan of Raj. I love the way that you guys play off.
Hey, Raj,
other.
You see what he just said? He said Raj. You spelt it with a J, and no one knows how to say it now. It's Raj,
is it
like
Raj
Roger. Yeah. No, it's Raj. He just spelled it stupidly. Yes.
Well. My question to you, Max, and this is like food for thought for me, but whether or not Raj had a leg up in this, because you and I take you as a smart intellectual growing
yes,
up.
Yes.
Were you a Frasier fan, and did Roz have any anything to do with the hiring of Raj? And again, I just want to reiterate.
I don't know what
Raj
you mean. Frasier? Frasier fan? Oh, you mean the TV show Frasier?
Roz. Well, Roz was Frasier's.
No, I don't remember.
You know,
but listen,
producer.
No, I was not into that TV show. Cheers was great. But there were some shows that did well in like syndication that were like based on not real people. They were just based on archetypes, right? Like if you watch Seinfeld or something like that, you say, okay, they're basing characters on people they know. But if you watched, Frasier or something like that, they're just basing it on archetypes. Here's a nerd. Here's the stupid one. Here's the funny one. Here, you know. And those shows are Coach was like that. Murphy Brown was like that. The great sitcoms are different. So that's what I think about that. No, Raj, did you do that because of the show Frasier?
Come on now. Why are you wasting seconds on it? I've never seen one episode of it. I'm sure it was a fine show, but no.
Raj Grobes is a fake made-up name if I ever heard one. You and Johnny Hecker. Can't slip a made-up name by me. Roger, who spells it the normal way in Tampa.
Max.
Yes.
How do you feel about Brady winning the MVP now that he has Brown?
Yeah, by the way, he'll be in the race, but the reality is Tom Brady has two losses on the season. He has a QBR that ranks 16th in the league, one slot ahead of Matthew Stafford right now. And when you look at the real MVP candidates, their QBRs, which takes into account a lot of stuff that you, what about his quarterback rating? What about this? What about the interceptions? And it contextualizes it and gives credit for higher leverage moments and all that. Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes, these are the elite quarterbacks this year. And Brady is working with more than those guys on offense and defense and doing less. However, he's been very good. There's no doubt about it. And because he is on a surging team, if they get AB, I expect him to be in the MVP conversation for a lot of this year. Mac in Colorado Springs, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Hey, good afternoon. So just some questions on the whole Cam Newton thing. And if we take a look at him in general, not just last week with that performance, but just in general, let's run down the list. Missed an entire season because of injuries. Now he's playing for the Patriots. Got COVID-19. No clue what that effect, if any, it has on the long run, has played on him.
Yep.
On top of that, he's got terrible targets this year.
Yeah, and by the way, doesn't not only doesn't have the targets, has a lot of opt-outs on the defense, hasn't gotten to practice really even because of COVID, the postponements of games. Yep. Oh, that's it? He's gone? How much time do I have, Raj? Do I have time to fit one more in? No more time. I agree. I think there's something physically wrong with Cam and something maybe mentally wrong with Raj for changing his name from whatever it was to R.O.J. Grobes. I look forward
to it. Yeah, I think it flows. I think that flows. I like that lit. Better than Roger Grobes. That sounds dumb.
Well, this could be the night for the Dodgers. Roger Grobes. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.